Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Leil Iyun here at Yula Girls High School. It's a pleasure to have the ability to speak with you for a few moments. Obviously, the topic on everyone's mind, other than the fact that the Shtender seems like a two-year-old easel for art, is also that we're trying to do tshuva, that we have the topic of Aseres Yimei Tshuva on our mind, and we're trying to find the right way to achieve a proper tshuva as we lead into the day of Yom Kippur. We've already had the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah, but we've propelled ourselves, we've motivated ourselves to hopefully continue on the path of tshuva, of repentance, going towards Yom Kippur. So I wanted to share an idea with you tonight. While it won't seem halachic or practical in a very direct sense, it's something that I think will shed a lot of light on the topic of tshuva in general and what the goal, what we're trying to achieve on Yom Kippur really is. And I think it'll give us a little bit of an insight that will change our look at tshuva and really reinterpret it for us in such a way that it'll be very inspiring and hopefully very motivating to propel us towards the future. One note on tshuva, I made a serious mistake last year in ordering like 250 notebooks for the kollel, and my wife has not done the Hashem side of slicha for me yet. So what I did was I dropped a few of them off here on the chairs as you walk in. So you could help me with my tshuva in our home by taking a notebook, taking a pen. You could use it to take notes right now or not. The point is that as you remove the iniquity from our presence, it would really be helpful for me during this time of the year. Okay, you look at source number one. There's a Gemara in Maseches Yuma. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Gedola Tshuva, we're going to read it one way, then we'll read it a second way. Gedola Tshuva, Tshuva, repentance is so great, Shemikareves es ha-geula, that it brings close, it closens the geula, the redemption. Shenemar uva l'tzion goyel u'shave pesh b'yakov, because as the Pasuk says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the geula to the people who repent, to the people who do tshuva. Matam uva l'tzion goyel, why will redemption come to Tzion? Mishum d'shave pesh b'yakov, because the Jewish people will have done tshuva. An additional alternative gears in the Gemara is not Gedola Tshuva Shem Mekareves, but if you look in the parentheses, Gedola Tshuva Shem Mevia Es Hagula. What's the difference between Mekareves and Mevia? What does Mekareves mean? Brings close. What does Mevia mean? It actually brings. So the difference, obviously, the discrepancy here is very huge. It's very big, which is that at one level, it means Mekareves. That means that we hasten the coming of the Geula by doing tshuva. But Mevia Es Hagula means what? It brings it, which has a sense of immediacy. It means that the moment that a person does tshuva, apparently, geula comes. So we're going to try to understand this Maimer Chazal, this saying over here in the Gemara, on both levels. The idea of tshuva bringing geula closer, but also the possibility, astounding possibility, it's hard to imagine, that tshuva actually brings geula in that moment, that when a person does tshuva, that geula comes instantaneously. Now, on one level, this Maimer Chazal is very understandable. It's a machlokas amarayim, that's the truth. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Tzadi Zayin has a machlokas about this, but assuming like one side, we understand that if Klal Yisrael as a unit, as a whole, as a community, does tshuva, repents from their averos, that will either hasten or bring the redemption, correct? If we all would do tshuva, there's a set time Mashiach should come, but it may come earlier if we go ahead and do tshuva in advance. So on one level, this Maimer Chazal is very easy to understand. But if you look a little bit closer at the surrounding passages in that Gemara, which aren't on the page for you here, the Gemara is clear that at least in some of those instances, it's not only talking about the tshuva, the repentance of the entire unit of Klal Yisrael, of the community as a whole, of the nation. The Gemara is actually talking about each individual's tshuva, which would mean, if we interpret it that way, Gedola tshuva, your repentance on Yom Kippur, this week during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, can bring the Geula. And if it's done properly, it will bring the Geula. And if we have that gears in the Gemara, it will bring it immediately. That is a fascinating, perplexing, if not mind-boggling statement. Your tshuva on a personal level is going to bring the geula to the world? Is that even possible? Does that make any sense? It doesn't really ring so true in our ears as we hear it for the first time, but maybe a few Maimer Makomos, a few sources that will help us ease into an approach that may help us understand this Maimer a little bit more. Look in source number two, you have a Maharal. The Maharal in the Sefer Gevuras Hashem, in the 46th chapter over there, Perek Mem Vav, I copied for you some of it over here. He says a beautiful, beautiful idea. He says that you'll notice that in people's lives, at some point, we do something that's wrong, and then we repeat it, and we repeat it again, and at some point in our lives, the truth is we're just doing it by rote. We're really just doing it by second nature at this point. It's just the way we act. It's not really a decision each and every time. The Maharal says that's true about everyone in a certain sense. Every single person is, quote, a prisoner, or really a slave, to their Yetzer Hara. Meaning we all have a Yetzer Hara, a Yetzer Tov. Somebody is telling us to do good, someone's telling us to do bad. But the Yetzer Hara is called by Chazal in the Gemara, in the Zohar, it's called a melech. It's called a king. Because everyone is actually subservient, is enslaved by the Yetzer Hara. they don't really have a choice at some point. They're imprisoned by the Yetzer Hara. And the actions they do are literally just second nature. They become regular for them. It's almost as if, or maybe literally, they lose Bechira Chafshis. The truth is, he's not the only person to have pointed this out, and not the first either. The Mesilas Yesharim, in the ninth paragraph of Mesilas Yesharim, says that when a person gets into a rut, when they build themselves into a pit, where they dig themselves deeper and deeper, that they're doing an action that's inappropriate for a long enough time, he says, Hergel Naaseteva. He says a person is stuck in the, quote, Ma'asar. They're stuck in the prison of their actions, and literally they lose their Bechira Chafshis. They lose their free will. They're unable to decide to stop at a certain point. We know in common, you know, colloquial terms about addiction, this is either similar or something much further than that. When a person is so stuck, they can't see right or wrong anymore. They're just doing things because that's the way they've been trained. There's no way out. They're imprisoned to the Yetzer Hara. They've been Ezra already said the Salat Torah. They've been Ezra was a Rishon. So in medieval times, they already said there's a concept of losing your Bechira Chafshis, not necessarily that Hashem takes it away, but we actually remove it from ourselves. So the Maharal says, in one level, every single person has this, that their Yetzer Hara has a shlita, it has control over you, and you are a prisoner, you are enslaved to your Yetzer Hara. And says the Maharal, when a person has an opportunity and does tshuva, they repent, they get rid of their old deeds, they disassociate with them, they divorce themselves from the old actions, they try to move on to a better life, to a holier life, you know what they've actually done, essentially? They've redeemed themselves from that prison. They've taken themselves out. They've escaped. If you think of Rabbeinu Yonah's famous mashal in the beginning of a Sefer Achari Tshuva, that tshuva is as if a person is imprisoned by the king. He's incarcerated, and he has an opportunity to break free. He has an opportunity to break out, to do a prison break. I just read in the Wall Street Journal there was a prison break. It's on the East Coast, although he's been gone for long enough. He might be here by now. But a guy on the East Coast, Pennsylvania or something, just like that, he broke out of prison. It's like right out of the movies. Unbelievable. He climbed up through in between the walls. Unbelievable. That's what tshuva is also. This guy is doing tshuva. Look at that. This guy is doing tshuva for us. Showing us what it's like. It's breaking out of prison. You're stuck. You're ensnared by chet. You're mired in chet. You're shackled by chet. But tshuva is an opportunity to break the bonds of chet, to break the bonds of the slavery to the Yetzer Hara, and come through, come free, break out of that jail cell, and live your life the way you're supposed to live it. That, says the Maharal, is the deeper connection between tshuva and geula. And the Maharal says, unbelievably, he says, that's also why you find, if you look again in source number 2, you have it in source number 3 as well, he said, that's why you find in the Torah that the Psukim describe to us that we have a concept of Yovel. Yovel only happens every 50 years, but when it happens, all slaves, even the ones who were near Tzaim, who had stayed for longer than their initial term of servitude, they go free during Yovel. And in fact, all the land that was sold goes back to its ancestral owners, correct? Slaves, land, everything goes back to the beginning. Everything is freed, everything is relinquished from its ownership and given over to its original owners. What day does Yovel happen? What day of the year? What holiday is associated with? Yom Kippur, Havir Shofar. There's a shofar that's blown on Yom Kippur in celebration of Yovel, and on Yom Kippur, everything returns to its source. Everything breaks out of its servitude, everything is released from its bondage, everything is taken out of where it was held until now. It's a geula. It's a redemption that happens on a national and on a personal, individual level on Yom Kippur itself. Says Maharal, as with everything in the Torah, that's no coincidence. It didn't coincidentally work out that on Yom Kippur is the time that there's geula, that there's going to be liberty, right? Whatever it was, I always forget the English term, but whatever it says in the Liberty Bell, and you'll call liberty to the... You guys know what I'm talking about? That's the pasuk in English, the pasuk Havir Shofar, that there's a krasem dror. There's going to be freedom called out to everyone, that the slaves are going to go free, the land is going to go free. That all takes place in Yom Kippur. Why? Because Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva. Yom Kippur is a day where we redeem ourselves, and in redeeming ourselves, we free ourselves from the shackles, from the prison cell of the Yetzer Hara. We're no longer enslaved to the king who controls us. And because it's a day of freedom, because it's a day of redemption of Geula, so too all the slaves go free. So too all the land goes free. That's what the Maharal says, the deep connection between Geula and Tshuva. And if you look in source number 3, he makes what we're saying explicit. Source number 3 is a passage from the Maharal's Nisiv HaTshuva. He has a set of essays called Nisivos Olam, Pathways of the World. And each pathway is a different topic. So here it's Nisiv HaTshuva, but you have also Nisiv HaLashon, Nisiv HaShtika, you have Nisiv Koach HaYetzer, you have all these different pathways, Nisiv HaTorah, different topics that he wrote about. So Nisiv HaTshuva, an essay all about tshuva, all about the mitzvah of repentance and the idea of repentance. So the Maharal writes, that's in fact what this Gemara means that we started with. He quotes it again from Rabbi Yossi Aglili, different. Gedol HaTshuva Shemeivia Geula. Tshuva is so great in that it brings Geula. Says the Maharal, he says gedol tshuva shemekarevus akula laolam or mevia gula laolam, whichever one it might be. Baal tshuva yotze lecheres mina yitzahara. A baal tshuva, someone who does tshuva, they leave the slavery of their yitzahara. They're no longer enslaved to the king, the yitzahara. Zeg geula, that's redemption. Ulefikach megarev gamkena geula to the rest of the world. That's why it brings a geula to the rest of the world as well. And the Maharal says, and I already explained to you in Berurah Hashem, that that's true. That's the connection between our concept of Yom Kippur with the concept of geula as well, as we spelled out a second ago. Just to deepen that idea just a little bit, if you look in source number 5. So in source number 5, on the second page, you have a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Beis tells us, he asks us really, Ezahu tshuva gemura. What is a complete, what is a total tshuva? What's the fullest sense of tshuva? The Rambam answers that question by depicting a scenario. He says a person who can do tshuva, they regret what they've done, they klap al chet, they do vidoy before Hashem, they accept upon themselves they're never going to do this action again. But until the following happens, it's not full, it's not complete to the highest level. Says the Rambam, what has to happen, source number 5, is the person has to be confronted with that same challenge another time. Other sources have it as more than once. The Rambam has it as one time. Another time, a person has to be confronted with the same challenge, the same circumstances, the same feelings, the same draws, that same tension they faced in that very first instance. And in this case, they succeed. They win. They beat the Yetzirah. They win the battle. Says the Rambam, if you look in the fourth line over here, Zehu Baal Tshuva Gemura. That is the ultimate Baal Tshuva, the person who lives with a sense of tshuva. Vim lo shav ela bimezik nuso. I'm skipping to the bolds over here. If he doesn't do so in his youth, but rather waits till older age to do tshuva, that's also good. Ub eis shiyasher lulasis mashayosa afal pisha ino tshuva muula moeles hilo. Underline ubal tshuva hu. He's still considered a baal tshuva. Says the Rambam, I'll say even better. Afilu avar kol yamav v'asa tshuva biyom misaso. Even if a person violates the same averos for their entire life, and on year 120, they are laying on their deathbed, sitting there thinking, you know what? I should probably do tshuva. There's no way they're going to be confronted with the same challenge again. They're not going to be able to live their lives al derech tshuva. Even so, if a person does tshuva on their deathbed, we know the custom is a person claps al chet, does a vidoy at the shas misa, at the time of death. A person does a full tshuva at that moment, listen to this, umes b'tshuvaso, and they die in the course of doing tshuva, kol avonosav nimchalim. He's still forgiven for everything he's done. Beautiful, right? Sounds as good as the previous cases, correct? Except what's missing? In case number 1, the Rambam describes someone who did tshuva and then faced that challenge again and succeeded. And he calls him a Baal tshuva. In the second case, he says he did tshuva later in life. He didn't face that situation again, but he lived a few years with that tshuva on his mind and his heart. And he's called a Baal tshuva. If a person waits their entire life and does tshuva on their deathbed, all of their sins are forgiven, but the Rambam does not call him a Baal tshuva. He's not a Baal tshuva. Why not? Why isn't he a Baal tshuva? Apparently for the Rambam, doing tshuva is one thing. Being a Baal tshuva, living tshuva, carrying on with tshuva, is something else entirely. If a person does tshuva early enough in life that they're able to live those messages, those values they've gained, they've internalized through the tshuva process out, then they can live a life of a baal tshuva. The balance of their life can be a life of tshuva. But if a person, rachman al-atzlan, waits the last second, they'll get a kapara, they'll get a mechila, they'll be forgiven for what they've done, but they won't have lived a life of tshuva. They won't have been a baal tshuva. It's almost like a person, rachman al-atzlan, who breaks out of a jail cell and gets hit by a car while they're crossing the highway. I don't know how bad the guy was. Maybe it's not such a rachman al-atzlan. But the point is that did they experience freedom? They broke free. They broke out of jail, that's true. But they never experienced the freedom. They never lived with that freedom. A baal tshuva is someone who breaks out of the jail cell of that yetzahara and continues on. Keeps living a life of geula. Because if tshuva is just a mitzvah, it's just a process we go through, it's just a bunch of knocks on our chest to say we don't want to do this anymore, to say we regret what we did, to say we feel like we don't want to do it again, that's one level, that's breaking free. But living free is an entirely different story. Being a baal tshuva is taking that tshuva and carrying on, going forward, and living a life with those values that you gained from the tshuva process itself. Geula is a form of tshuva only when the geula leads to a life of geula. Only when it leads to a life lived with those values that a person gained through doing tshuva. Says the Maharal, tshuva is geula. And tshuva on that level is mikareves and mevia geula. It brings a person to redemption, but it's our choice what we then do with it. If tshuva was just a mitzvah, it wouldn't really be geula. It would be a couple of times a year we would say we're sorry for what we did. But we wouldn't actually live our life that way, then we wouldn't be bali tshuva. That's how the Rambam deepens that idea. Yes. Question or trying to get someone else's attention? That's fine also. Yes. So what? And just explain a little more. What do you mean by expand it? Meaning that explains the difference?
It's almost like, I guess the way of asking the question is like, you know, it's like, if you think of it like a point system.
Right.
You know, it feels, the first time I heard this explained, it felt like there's no difference between the person who has lived a life of
right.
total
right.
disconnect.
Right. So the answer to the question is that on the first level, on the, you know, the more superficial level, there is no difference. They achieve the same atonement. They achieve the same waiver of claims. Everything is good. They get off scot-free and they go to a Gan Eden that we all dream of. There is a level at which a person who worked on it, toiled on it, and did it themselves over the course of years and actually accomplished it and then lived with it, they do gain more. Not in the level of mechila, of forgiveness, but in the level of living a life of a Baal Tshuva, that's a higher level to attain in this world. But yeah, going forward into the next world, seemingly that's a similar level of mechila, or it's identical level of mechila, really, says the Rambam. Yeah. What's amazing, I think, amazing, is that if we take this just a little bit further, if you bear with me for a moment, we just take this a little bit further, just try to deepen what we're talking about just slightly, we'll notice the answer to our original question. If you go back to source number one, we said, Amar Rav Yonasan, Gedola Tshuva, Shemikareves is a Geula. Tshuva brings closer the Geula. The Maharal explained to us that Tshuva is Geula in one sense, you're Goel yourself, and in that sense, you're Mikareves Geula. And maybe if it's true on an individual level, so ultimately if enough people do tshuva, we'll bring more and more closeness to Geula into this world, and maybe even bring Geula into this world entirely at some point. And that's, again, the connection between Yom Kippur and Yovel, that there's a freedom that comes from Geula, from tshuva, rather, and that's what we discussed until now. But it doesn't fully account for it, right? Because there's two things we still don't fully understand. The Chazal tell us here, Gedola tshuva, shemeviya, according to one Nusach, es ha-Geula. First of all, mevia instantaneously, is that really true? Geula is here? No. Geula might be closer. It might be more possible. We might be more ripe for Geula if one of us or enough of us do tshuva. But it's not maybe the Geula. It doesn't bring the Geula. That's insane. That doesn't make any sense. We know that's not true experientially. Secondly, I think we noticed in the beginning as well, these Maimrei Chazal and this Gemara and Yuma are not particularly about communal tshuva. It means that you and I, every single individual, when we do tshuva, tshuva is so great that fill in the blanks. In our case, the blank is, it's mevia geula, which means it's not just that when the community does tshuva, that will bring the geula, but each and every person, when they do tshuva, they will have brought the geula. That's not possible. That doesn't make any sense. We don't understand that at all. Truth is, whatever we describe in Telem, we have a better understanding of how tshuva is geula. We don't understand how this chazal really makes sense. So take a look in source number 6, and what this will try to end. Here the Rambam, he also does in Hilchos Malachim, but interestingly he doubles down in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam tells in the 9th paragraph of Hilchos Tshuva what exactly a Mashiach Tzaitin, what exactly a Mosa Mashiach is going to look like, what it's going to feel like, what it's going to be like, what we're really desiring when we think about Mashiach. It's very important to learn these Rambams here in Hilchos Malachim, because otherwise we say we want Mashiach, we sing we want Mashiach, we wave flags we want Mashiach, but we don't know what Mashiach is. We don't really know what we want. You have to know what it is in order to want it. Correct? The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Oiv shalom v'rodev shalom." That a person has to be no. Bakei shalom v'radfeu. Oiv shalom v'rodev shalom is the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Bakei shalom v'radfeu. A person has to seek out shalom, peace, and radfeu, and chase it. Why not just tirdov shalom, chase peace? What do you mean, bakei shalom v'radfeu? So I think Aaron Soloveitchik once said that Bakei Shalom Radfeu, you could chase peace all you want, but if you don't know what it is, you're going to be chasing war. Think about plenty of political decisions that have been made over the course of your lifetime. You're chasing peace, but you're just bringing animosity and attention to the world. Bakei shalom. First you have to know what it is, then you can chase it. So it's true about Mashiach also. You can't want Mashiach if you don't know what Mashiach is. See, it's important to know these Rambam. So the Rambam says here in Parak Tes of Hilchos Teshuva, "Umipnei zeh nis'avu kol Yisrael nevi'eim v'chachmeim limos ha-Mashiach." Everyone desired, pined for, yearned for Mashiach. "Kidei she'anuchu mimalchios she'enan minichos len lasak v'torah Mrs. Kohogan." Because we want that we should have respite. We should be rested. We should be let go by the nations that dominate us and don't let us learn Torah and do mitzvos. "V'yimtzu lahem margoa." We should find peace among ourselves. The yirbu chachma, there should be an increasing of wisdom. Kedei sheyizku l'chayelam haba. Lefi, shebeosan hayamim, tir behadas, there will be more wisdom, more knowledge. Veha chachma, veha emes, you know, and other forms of wisdom and truth. Shenemar ki mala haaretz deyas Hashem. What is ge'ula? What is ge'ula, according to the Rambam? What's Mashiach? Yeah, apparently, Mashiach is freedom to learn, freedom to understand, and honestly, in a bigger picture, clarity of vision. Ge'ula, let's say, gullus that we live in now, is ambiguity. It's everything's obfuscated. Everything is unclear. Everything's mixed up and muddled up. Nobody knows what's left and what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. Because we have a Shibun Malchios, because we have a tremendous Yetzer Hara, because there are so many challenges in our world that keep us from recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His Torah and His Mitzvos. Mashiach, Yemosa Mashiach in the Rambam is a time in which there may very well still be a Yetzer Hara. Some Rishonim disagree, the Ramban disagrees about this. There may very well still be a Yetzer Hara, but there will be so much clarity. It will be so clear what's right and what's wrong. We'll have so much peace of mind, so much Yeshiva Das, that we'll be able to distill, to be able to discern the right from the wrong, to see what's right, to see what's good, to see what's bad, to see what's wrong, and make the appropriate choices. Or in other words, in the times of Yemos HaMashiach, we will not be slaves to our Yetzer Hara. We will be free agents. We'll be free people. And so for the Rambam, the height of Ge'ula, apparently, is the ability to choose between right and wrong because we have a full knowledge. Ki mala haaretz deyas Hashem. Because there's a riboy of das and chachma, because there's respite from our enemies, because we're able to be osik and torah and mitzvos, we can tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu apart from everything else in the world, and we can therefore make the proper choices. That's what ge'ula really means. That's what Mashiach really is. It's the ability to see very clearly and to not be beholden to our Yetzirah. If that's true, then maybe that's what this chazal is driving at all along. Gedola hatshuva shemidia es hageula. Your tshuva brings the geula? That's not possible. There's a geula for the whole nation, and it involves a huge redemptive process, and your tshuva alone brings it? But now maybe we understand with the Maharal, with the Rambam, yeah. You know why? Because tshuva is geula. When a person does tshuva, they redeem themselves from the Yetzer Hara. They can see a little bit more clearly. They can think a little bit more clearly. They can understand right from wrong. They're experiencing Yemos HaMashiach in their own time, right then and there. Gedola tshuva shemevia es ha-geula. At that moment, in that instant of a full tshuva, and when a person carries on and lives a life of a Baal tshuva, they are living in Yemos HaMashiach. That's an idea that I think we should think about. It's an idea that I think can take time to really get into our hearts. But if we think about it over the next few days going into Yom Kippur, then hopefully the ultimate shofar at the end of Yom Kippur will not only be for our personal ge'ulas, but B'siyat Deshmaya will lead to the ultimate ge'ula, the B'yas Mashiach, M'her V'Yameinu, Amen. Yashar Koyach.